praising the Lord.
Yes.
In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Persecuted, but not forsaken.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What an honor and what a privilege it is, my Father, that through your Son, Jesus Christ, Father, and the power of attorney that you have in him, that we can come boldly to your throne of grace and make our petitions known unto you, my Father. Hallelujah. We can come all the way to the courts of heaven, Father, and make a demand on our rights and our privileges, Lord, and our sovereignty and dominion and authority that we have, my Father, that has been restored back to us. We count it an honor and a privilege, Father, that you will summon us together. All of those who are under the sound of my voice, my Father, that they might hear a word from you that will transform their lives, that will push out darkness and bring in light. That which they don't know, they may come to the knowledge of, my Father, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, Father, you always told us every time we come along here that we can come through the gates of thanksgiving, through the courts of praise, through the holy place, all the way behind the veil, all the way into the holies of holies, where your presence is. And we can come all the way there. Up until the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, men could not go there. You was always with us, and you was always among them, Lord. But they couldn't go into your presence because sin has separated us from that awesome place, that delightful place, that garden of Eden. But you was always among us, and you never left us, and you never forsook us. And in the fullness of time, you fulfill your promise, Lord. You came yourself in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, and you redeemed our lives from a destruction that Adam sold all mankind into. And not only did you redeem our lives, but you restored to us everything that we lost in Adam. Now, Father, as we come into your presence, we lift up our lives, every part of it. Our spirit, our soul, and our body. We lift up our cup. We will ask, Lord, that you would fill it up, Lord. Hallelujah. And make us whole. That is in always, Father, be always careful to give you all of the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise. For thine is the kingdom. This is your kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Now feed us, Lord, from the King's table. And for that, we say thank you. Amen. In the power of attorney, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says in the first, let me say this. Hey, mighty men, mighty women of the Most High God. Not thoughts in every more authority. So that means you can really hear what I say. I'm going to say it one more time. Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Even if you don't know that yet, even if you don't know the power and might that's available to you, hey, that don't stop me and you, man, from being who you are. All you have to do is come to the knowledge of it. That's the purpose why God put this radio broadcast into your life, so that you may come to the knowledge of some things, so that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will and God's intent and God's desire and God's purpose for our lives. Hallelujah. So what purpose are you so that we can have restored back to us everything that rightfully belongs to us? And you know what rightfully belongs to us? And this is the central focus of every broadcast that Kingdom Life Fellowship do. This is the central focus of it. To reestablish God's kingdom, back up on the earth. So you got a whole lot of kingdoms on the earth. Boy, there's an everlasting one. It's called the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. All these other kingdoms, man, just like kingdom in time past, it passed away. All these kingdoms of the world that we live in today and the one they're going to be tomorrow and in the future, all that's going to pass away. Just like all the past ones have passed away. But the kingdom of the Most High God, well, that's an everlasting kingdom. They will never pass away. That's everlasting life. That's everlasting life in a place, though. Not just everlasting life on the earth. That's everlasting life on a place on the earth. And that's back into, boy, God's original intent and desire and purpose that he had for our life, that he spoke in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. When he said, let's make man just like us, and let's give them sovereign reign, power, control, and influence. Let them master us. Over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, and everything that creepeth up on the earth. So God did. So God created man in his image. In his image created he them. Male and female, created he them. And what is the part I love about it? And the next verse say, and God blessed them. Who talking? That's God talking now. That's not God talking through the prophets or nobody. That's God speaking himself. So God created man in his image. In his image created he them. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply and subdue, replenish and subdue the earth. You know you're telling them, man, hey, I want you to make it on earth just like it is in here. So God blessed them. When God blessed them, that means he put on the inside of world mankind all the potential that they need to accomplish everything that he spoke into their life. That's purpose. And that's not only purpose, but that's all of the potential that you need to fulfill that purpose. And he downloaded that on the inside of all of us. All the potential that we have need of. To accomplish anything that he say that we can accomplish, or to do anything that he say we can do, to have anything that he say we can have. And then in chapter 2, that's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to chapter verse 26 to 31. And then in Genesis chapter the 2, we go into a little detail about how he did that. And they say, so on the seventh day, God rested from all his work. But he had completed it. In other words, boy, it was a done deal. But the Most High God has spoken. And boy, let me tell you something. When the Most High God speaks, Man, that's a done deal. Who's speaking in there? That's God talking. And that God's first word that come out of his mouth that was already in his heart and in his mind before the foundation of the world, that his first word, man, about you and I, about mankind, let's make them like us. The same character, the same nature like us. And let's give them sovereign reign and dominion and power and control and influence over the territory that we're going to bring them to. So it's saying God finished. In other words, boy, it's a done deal. It can't return to him void. Why? Because that's Almighty God who spoke. See, in Ephesians chapter 1, that's what he's... That was in that passage of scripture, that was in the heart of God even before he spoke. Let's see if I can turn there right quick and just read that to you so that you have a clear understanding. I don't want to just quote it to you. For the sake of time, that's what I do most of the time. I just be quoting the word of God to you. What you're doing then, hey, I understand a principle in the kingdom of God. And I'll just sow the seed. The Bible says the kingdom of God is like a sower who went out to sow the seed, and then he just went to be. He knows not how, but the earth brings forth of itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full comb. So the earth brings forth of itself. Hallelujah. What you do? All I do is plant the seed. And listen to what Ephesians chapter 1 says. This is what God was even before the foundation of the world. Listen, Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, or whoever listening to this radio broadcast. That's what he said in the next passage. And to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Listen to what he addressed you with. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, in the King James Version, H-A-T-H, that's an old English word. That's not mean something that he's going to do. That's something that's already done. Is done. Who has blessed us. Who has already blessed us. If you're trying to give what we already have, it's just instead of just having being what we already, who we already are, we are blessed. What he did, he blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. According as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. This is what he chose. That we should be holy and without blame, covered in his love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Hallelujah. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ Jesus, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, all in him. Hallelujah. Where it is in Bible, that's God speaking to our heart, what was in his heart before. This is his precept, his original idea, his what he was thinking, even before he spoke. Where he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame and covered in his love. He chose them before the foundation of the world. That was in his heart and mind. And then in Genesis chapter 1, then he spoke it. And that thought, when he spoke it, that became an expressed idea, a word. That's what a word is. An expressed idea. When that idea that you have in your heart that nobody knows but you, when you, the only way to communicate it and to manifest it, then boy, to someone else, then you have to express it, talk through words. So a word is an express thought. What was God's express thought before the foundation of the world? That we should be holy and without blame, covered in his love. Having been adopted into the children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to his good pleasure and his will, is what he's doing. Hallelujah. And in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, boy, let me tell you something. He set that world up. He set that arrangement up. That's why I say on the seventh day he finished in chapter 2. And then it goes into a little detail. It say in Genesis chapter, in 2 verse 7, it say, and God formed man's body from the dust of the ground. What he did, he formed the body. For who? Man. Who is man? That's that child of God that you are. That's that offspring of God that you are. That's that person that's created in the image and likeness of the Most High God that you are. That's that man. That's the son of the Most High God. That's an ambassador, man, of the kingdom of hell. They don't represent nothing else. Just there. All them other titles, they're going to pass away. Baby, you're going to be a representative of hell forever and ever and ever. Or a king. All them other titles, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pope, bishop, whatever, oh, they're going to pass away. But baby, you're going to ever be a king. Because God gave us dominion, kingship, authority, power, and control over territory, or your life, on your spot, wherever you are on the earth. So if you can rule and reign over every circumstance, situation, and symptom that might confront your life, thereby manifesting, man, the character and nature of, boy, your source and your sustainer, ooh, your Father in heaven. Well, on a territory that he gave you, well, called the earth. So he came down to the earth and he formed a body. And man, when he came down to the earth and formed a body, he brought you, who was in him before the foundation of the world. And then in Genesis chapter 1, he started speaking it, and it started manifesting itself, boy, as he spoke it. Then he came down to the earth and formed a body for that man to live in. But that is, that's God setting up a world and arranging a pattern of operation, a way of living on the earth. His world, his kingdom, his sovereign rule on the earth. That's what Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is all about. God setting up a world on the earth, a pattern of operation, a system of operation, a pattern of operation. And boy, he set it up on the earth. So he formed the body from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into that body the breath of life. He released on the inside of that body that man, that mighty man, and that mighty woman that you are, that child of the Most High God that you are, that ambassador of the kingdom of heaven that you are, that king in the earth that God created you to be when he gave you sovereignty and dominion over the earth. I told you, you're a mighty man, you're a mighty woman of God, even if you ain't claimed to the knowledge of it. I know all the men what God say about you. And what I come on this radio to tell you is what God say about you. Some things men say about you, man, that's what God said, man, in an old covenant. I couldn't tell you what God say about you in his new covenant, in his new arrangement. Hallelujah. Actually, it's not new, it's really the old, the original. So listen, let me turn to a scripture and read something to you. You know, but let me just finish first, you know. Hey, God set up that kingdom, was setting up that kingdom on the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. His kingdom, his world. So he formed a body for the man to live in. Then he released on the inside of that body that mighty man, that mighty woman of God that you are, that spirit being that you are. And that part of you that's created in the image and likeness of the Most High God. That had the same character and nature of the Most High God, that had the same functioning abilities of the Most High God. They were created in His image and His likeness, man. That means being able to live, man, with that character and that nature. From that perspective. So you're getting to function like He did, to live the way He lived. But when He was speaking, things was happening. Same thing when Jesus spoke, man, things was happening. Same thing, boy, when you and I speak, man, things be happening too. Just because we don't know, man, you know. Yeah. The word of God ain't in our mouth, then, man, we haven't really what we say. And if the word of God ain't but two words, it's the word of life and it's the word of death. The word of God is life. The word of this the devil and this world system that we live in, man, is death. I told you, boy, all these kingdoms gonna pass away. The King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, it's all vanity. Because when it's all said and done, man, I'm talking about all this, they're going to be rich. This ain't what God originally intended and desired. So all that's going to pass away. So what God originally intended and desired, that's going to be forever. So it'd be in our best interest, man, to get in on that which is forever. To come out of religion. This ain't about Christianity. This ain't about, you know, Buddhism or Islam or neither is about, man, you know, the other big religion, Hinduism, you know. It ain't about all the little minor religion and all that. It ain't about all that. That was a means to an end. That ending came over 2,000 years ago, man. So that's done away, man. That's through. That's fulfilled. That's finished. And then God set it up. I told you it's finished. God set it up on the earth. And then God, the Bible says, did it. After he released on the inside of that body that he formed from the ground, while so that man could have a earth vessel, a suit, so that he could live on the earth. In a vessel that comes from the earth, so he could dominate the earth, so he could stay hooked up to the earth. That's why your body needs, man, the earth, the food from the earth, and to live. Why? Because you got to stay hooked up to the earth. It comes from the earth in order for it to maintain, then you got to continue, man, to eat the earth. Everything, all the foods, everything, all the animals, all that comes from the earth. Even that food for the physical body, man, it comes from the earth. You want to sustain the physical body because it comes from the earth. Same way that spirit, man, it comes from hell. That mighty man, that mighty woman of God that you are, that comes from hell. That comes from God. Our Father, which you are where? In hell. That's where you originated in. That's where your original citizenship is in. But God desired and intended not for you to be in him. Can't rule and reign up there. That's his territory. So he created another territory for you. Called the earth. And for me. You know the next thing the Bible says he did? After he put us, brought us down from heaven to earth. And then the Bible says he breathed into that body, into the nostrils of that body, the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Under that's a spirit that's created in the image and likeness of God. That's your own, man, you know, freedom, your own person. That's your soul. That's your mind, your will, your emotion. And then that's your physical body. You're a triune being, too. You're a spirit that have your own personality, your own soul, your own, you know, decision factors, all of that, you know, and you live in a physical body. Here on the earth for a purpose, for to rule and reign and dominate this physical earth. With the what? With the governing influence of the territory that you come from. That's why I say you're going to always be an ambassador. You're already here to represent him on this territory. To colonize men earth with him, to make earth man as God originally intended for it to be, a colony of him. But so that the same thing that's going on in hell might be going on in the earth. How you gonna get that done? Through his children, through his family of sons. When he started, he breathed on the inside of them the breath of life. Then we said he blessed them. So he breathed on the inside of them everything that they had need of. The spirit man, the soul, and most important, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of the Most High God. Living on the inside of the spirit of the children of God. That's a divine connection between God and mankind, our Father in heaven and his children, and all of the kingdom of heaven, and everything that heaven consists of, and the earth. That's a divine connection between the two. Who is that? That's the Holy Spirit. That's a connection. That's a communication. Without that man, then you don't know. You don't know nothing about that. That's why, you know, we being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Listen, there's something the devil don't ever want you to know. He don't ever want you to know, man, about, boy, the restoration. Man. He don't ever want you to know what God is doing. What God doing, man, in our generation, in our day and time, man, he redeeming his children's lives from the destruction, man, that Adam sold them into, and restoring back to them everything that they lost. What? Their sovereignty, their dominion, their raw power, their identity, their originality, their purpose, their potential, their eternal destiny, their sovereignty, their crown. Lost all of that. Well, listen, man, God did interesting. I got a little ahead of myself. Hey, listen, after God, man, released on the inside of him the Holy Spirit, boy, then God, boy, did something spectacular. God planted a garden in Eden called the Garden of Eden that you know of in your Bible. And the Bible says, and there he placed the man. Right. In that spot, on the earth, which was a door into for the presence of the Most High God, a delightful place, but into the presence of the Most High God, that he was an atmosphere and an environment that's produced by the literal presence of the Most High God. He could have had him in his presence in a spot on the earth that he planted and that he placed the mankind in. And that from that place, he told the man to be fruitful and multiply and subdue and replenish the earth. From that place, from that arrangement, from that world, from that pattern of operation, from that system, from the law that governs that arrangement, that pattern of operation, that world. Well, I told you, man, when he spoke it out of his mouth, man, and then tell you something, he set it up. And he was well on his way, man, to accomplishing what his original intent was. What? That it be on earth just like it is in hell. How you gonna get that done and established? Through his family of sons called mankind. That's why he brought us down here to the earth to accomplish that through us. To accomplish that through us. Not to have church through us. That's a part of it, but that's a small part of it. We've been majoring in the mind and minoring in the manger. We've been having church, man, and not knowing, man, what the church really is and knowing how to be the church. See, it's one thing to have church. It's another thing to be the church. And, boy, we have some good churches where folks with emotion and everything else is stirred up. But, man, the church, the people don't even know who the church is and the purpose for the church. And not to stir up your emotion. It's to train you up for the work of your ministry. It's to transform you, man, into the same image and likeness, man, of the Most High God. It's the renewing of your mind. All right, so that, man, you can then get all that belong to you. It's the edifying of the body of Christ. It's the edifying of God's children. It's the building them up. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to full stature of Christ. Until we all come into the unity of the faith. Until we all just grow together, man, in the grace of God, becoming one with each other and becoming, man, one in God and one in Christ Jesus. Us and them and they and us. They and us and them. Becoming one. Why? Because, boy, that's how God had it in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. After he put Adam in that spot on the earth, man, in his crevice, man, he had unbroken fellowship. He was walking and talking with God in the cool of the day. Can you imagine what kind of life that was? Walking and talking in the presence of the Most High God 24/7, unbroken fellowship. No sin. Just becoming, man, and being everything that God told him to be. So he ruling and reigning over in that territory, in that spot on the earth, in the presence of the Lord, in that garden. With an assignment, what? To make the whole earth just like this garden. To replenish it. Make the whole earth just like this garden. How? To reproduction, to being fruitful and multiplying. So when your children are born in that place, then they take that environment and atmosphere to their home, you know, on the spot on the earth where they are. Until being out through the children of the birth and the reproduction and the being fruitful and multiplying of mankind, born in that place, in that world, in that arrangement, in the Garden of Eden, in the presence of the Lord, where every time they get like it is, mankind has spread it all over the earth today. Man, can you imagine if we'd have been born in the presence of the Most High God instead of in the wilderness, separated from God? Then it would be in our spot on the earth, it, just like it is in hell. Then it'd be on heaven just like it is in earth, because it would be in all our lives and all our homes and all our attitudes and all our thinking and all our being and all our actions and all our ways and all our doing. Only from that place. And know something, that's what God set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. He set up his world, his arrangement, his kingdom. In Genesis chapter 3, man, God lost his kingdom. God lost his children. Who? God lost his children. Through man, one man's disobedience. That world that God set up on the earth, man, it was lost. Those laws that God set up on the earth, in that world, they was lost. You see, in that world that God set up on the earth, they live in that world functioned by laws, governing principles, primarily. It's not enough to be in the kingdom of God. Now we got to grow up in the kingdom of God and learn, man, how the laws of the kingdom of God and, man, how to be obedient to those laws, the original laws. The laws that God set up way before Moses even came on the scene. The laws that God set up in Genesis chapter 1. The law of life. The law of faith. The law of love, the law of liberty, the law of sin and death, the law of promise, the law of sowing and reaping. See, the church and the Christian church and the religious world, they don't know nothing about those laws. But we know a whole lot about the laws of Moses. And that's a good thing to know a whole lot about that, but boy, that's some things that you need to know about the laws of Moses, man. That was a law that superseded the laws of Moses. because of the breaking of those laws that supersede the laws of Moses, what man God had to use the laws of Moses to bring mankind to a place, man, of awareness and consciousness that, man, listen, I need to save. Because all these laws that he tell me, that's laid out for me to keep, in order for me to appease the deity, man, I can't keep these laws. Just like Paul said, hey, listen, the thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Oh, that's your man that I am. Who's going to deliver me, man, from this tug of war that's going on? In my heart and mind, I want to obey the thing of God. I want to live according to the law, but I find another member in me that's warring against that, man, that caused me to fall, man. I might have it right in this part of the area and everything else, but, man, as I look into my life, I see a lot of laws that I'm still disobeying. So by the works of the law, man, I can't be justified. Why? Because I keep breaking. That's what Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8 is about. So, oh, wretched man that I am. The more I see how righteous the law is and how holy the law is, the more I see, man, how unrighteous and unholy I am. Lord, have mercy on me. And Paul cried out, oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of this tug of war? He said, thanks be unto God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, the natural man, but walk after the Spirit. Because the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Remember when God told Adam in the garden, hey, listen, you can eat off any tree in the garden if you want to. That's liberty. That's a law. You choose. You say, I said before you, life and death, you choose. Blessing and curse, you choose. Sickness or health, you choose. Poverty or wealth, you choose. One thing the rich man and the poor man, the Bible said, had in common, but God is the maker of them both. One time I asked God, I said, God, that means you make poor people you make some people poor and you make some people rich? God said, no. God said, I make people. And they either become poor or rich. This is what they both have in common. I just make the people. I don't make them poor or rich. I make a man, you know, by him and like it. They must become that. And they got the free will to choose, man, whether they become that or not. That's a perfect long liberty. He told Adam, y'all can eat off any tree in the garden you want to. But he gave him the consequence. He said, but there's a tree in the middle of the garden called a tree of knowledge and evil, of good and evil. And here's the law too. Don't eat out that tree. Why? Because if you eat out that tree, thou shalt surely die. You're going to separate yourself from me. And that Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of your spirit, he's going to be separated from you too. And this paradise, this presence of the Most High God, this Garden of Eden, that I place you in, designed for you to accomplish your God-given purpose and destiny, you're going to be separated from that place too. From that whole arrangement, from that whole world. You're going to find yourself separated from that. And just like if you separate a plant from the soil, man, it starts withering away and dying. Just like if you take a fish out of the water, it starts withering away and dying. Just like if you separate man from God, it starts withering away and dying. Can't separate from the soul. Then, like I say, the physical body needs the physical food to eat. The spiritual body needs the spiritual food to stay hooked up to the spirit world, man, for it to live. In other words, well, you got to stay hooked up to God. And through Adam's sin, man, we got separated from God. That's in Genesis chapter 3, when the devil came in and deceived them. But Lord God made a promise. That's a law. He said, I promise you something, man. Even though you deceived that woman and tricked them out of their sovereign, the dominion that I gave them, hey, man, that same woman, man, through that woman going to come a seed. And through that seed, and what that seed going to do, he going to crush your head. You know what that means? That means he going to take back everything that you stole from mankind. The authority and the dominion and the power and the control and the mastery and that I gave Adam, man, in the Garden of Eden that you deceived them out of, that same owner going to have a seed. To that seed, he's going to take that back from you. And he's going to restore it back to who it originally belonged to. He's not going to just take it back from you, but he's going to restore it back to who it belonged to. That's a law. That's a promise. And listen, God not slack concerning his promise. For if he said it, he's going to do it. If he spoke it, he's going to come to pass. Another place in the Bible says, and through these exceeding great and precious promises of God, then, boy, we partake of the divine nature of God and escape the corruption that is in this world. And then, boy, that's what Abraham represents. That promise. That's what that land is, you know, they call it a promised land. That's what that God promised land. Say, I'm going to restore you back to my presence, back to the Garden of Eden, back into my presence. I'm going to restore you back to that land. That's a promise. That's a law in the kingdom of God. Just like, man, in Abraham's day, where, man, God gave Abraham a land and a promise, and that's just a type and a shadow. Don't get preoccupied with the types and shadows, man, and miss out, man, what they really from. They were types and shadows of things that was to come, boy. That original promise. I promise you, man, I'm going to redeem your life from this destruction, and I'm going to crown you with glory and honor, man, and I'm going to fulfill my purpose and my destiny that I set for your life. And the hell and hell are going to be able to stop it. Or he might huff and he might puff, and he might shoot his best shot, man, and it might seem like, man, he winning or he could have won, but, man, let me tell you something, man, my counsel is going to stand, said the Lord. And not a word that have gone forth out of my mouth shall be altered. But it shall accomplish that which it was sent to accomplish. Hallelujah. That's a law in the kingdom. How you live this type of law? And there's another law in the kingdom, man, that's called a law of love. I told you, man, God, man, chose up before the foundation of the world that we should be covered in his love. That's a long love. And listen, even when Adam and Eve them disobeyed God and rebelled against him, man, God loved them so much, man, that he clothed them. He provided a sacrifice for them. He provided a life for them, man, and hallelujah, boy, so that he can keep, man, and stay with them and provide a sacrifice for our sins. He did that. He the one who made the first sacrifice. He the one who showed his grace, man, even from the beginning of mankind. Even at the fall of mankind, God's grace has always been on the earth. It's an everlasting grace. What we live in is the fullness of that grace that's always been here. God never left Adam and Eve when they fell. He just couldn't live in them no more. And they couldn't be in his presence no more, man, you know, in the sense they were in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. But he was going to always be around them. Why? Because, man, he can't alter his man this. See, he loves his children so much, man, he ain't going to leave us. He ain't going to forsake us. If he say he's going to redeem our life from due destruction, and he gave us that promise, man, in Jesse chapter 3, man, he's going to fulfill that. Why? Because he who begun a good work on the inside of us in Jesse chapter 2, it don't matter what the devil did and deceived Adam and Eve. Man, he who begun that good work on the inside of us, he's going to complete that. In fact, it's already complete. In Genesis chapter 3, man, like I tell you, he lost his kingdom, man. And on down through time in your Bible, man, is about, man, you know, boy, God working with mankind down in different times and in different seasons, man, you know, in different periods in the history of mankind, man, God working through mankind. God dispensing his grace in whatever area or age that mankind lived in. God dispensing his grace and his mercy, man. All toward the fulfillment, man, of his original intent and plan and purpose. Boy, that the whole earth would be filled with the glory of God. How you get that done? To his family son. What you mean the whole earth would be filled with the glory of God? And that it be on earth just like it is in heaven. Listen, when it's all said and done, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be on earth as it is in heaven. See, listen, man, our final destination is not, man, heaven. The way God is, our final destination is heaven on earth. But God set up, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And the whole earth is going to be a garden of Eden. The whole earth is going to be filled with the presence of the Lord. The whole earth is going to be filled with the glory of God. The whole earth is going to be filled with the culture of God. The whole earth is going to be filled. You know, he spoke that in, boy, in Genesis chapter 3. And that which he spoke, hey, listen, boy, his purpose, that's his original purpose. His purpose don't change. His plans do. But his purpose don't never change. So in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, boy, he set it up on the earth, man. And man, he gave them a plan, boy. They don't eat out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you'll live forever. And you'll be fruitful, and you'll multiply, and it'll be in your territory on earth just like it is in heaven. All you got to do is don't eat out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In other words, let me tell you what that really is simply saying. It's a, don't try to accomplish this in by your, of yourself. Don't declare independence from me. Don't try to be all that I say that you are and have all that I say that you have and do all that I say that you can do independent from me. Don't try to do that without me. Don't try to do that on your own. Why? Because you can't. Why? Because I'm your source and I'm your sustainer. That's what Father means. Abba. Source and sustainer. And if you disconnect yourself from the source and sustainer, then it's impossible for you to accomplish that. My will and my desire for your life, said the Lord. No matter how hard you try, no matter what Mosaic laws you're trying to keep, that's a good thing. I ain't say don't try to keep them. Man, all I'm saying is that's not what's going to get you, you mean, God's will for your life. You live that way because that's why you were designed to live. You don't live that way to try to impress God, to get from God. You live that way because that's how God created you to live, holy. And what he said, boy, from the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and without blame. That means living, man, that don't mean just getting away with the law. That means living according to all the Mosaic laws and everything else. But the way to accomplish that, you got to get back to the original law and start living your life, man, in the original law. And guess what, boy? The Mosaic law that's fulfilled in Jesus Christ, are beginning to be manifested in our lives here on earth. When we start operating in the law of life that's in Christ Jesus. What law of life that's in Christ Jesus, man? What God originally said in those first two chapters in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. I told you, that's God speaking. When God starts speaking after that, everybody was speaking to mankind. But in the beginning, that's not how it was designed to be. God designed for him to speak to mankind himself. He wanted to speak to you through somebody else. Adam and Eve had a personal relationship with God, not a corporate relationship, even though it was a corporate relationship, because everybody was in them. Everybody comes from them. So when God was talking to them, he was talking to everybody. And listen, boy, let me close with this. This is a very familiar scripture. In fact, let me turn that. I want to read that to you. This is a very familiar scripture. Isn't it this? Everything that God was doing from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through the Old Testament, everything, all the Old Testament stories, everything else, it's all a means to one end. It's how God is interacting with the people that separated from him because of sin in our lives, and how he's interacted with us, man, even in spite of. And on down to all the different seasons in time, or ages in time, or times in the history of mankind when God was dispensing the order or a pattern of operation for them to live according to. It was all a means to one end. The fulfillment of that promise. What promise is that? I promise you, I'm going to come and I'm going to redeem your life from the destruction, and I'm going to restore it back to you and your sovereignty and your dominion and your place and your purpose and your destiny and your identity and your potential. I'm going to restore all that back to you. And not only that, I'm going to restore it back to you, but I'm going to place you back into that spot, into that place, back into my presence. Well, from there, you can accomplish all of that. From there, you can fulfill your purpose and destiny. So here's a very familiar scripture, you know, that I want to just read to you here. Maybe it'll help you to understand it even to a greater degree now. Here's a familiar scripture, John chapter 3. Start at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Hallelujah. You know that. Just like Moses lifted up the serpent, and the people saw the serpent and then got healed, so even so must the Son of Man be lifted up on Calvary. That whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to this, verse 16. For God so loved the world. What? God so loved the world. What world is talking about? That pattern of operation that he set up in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That purpose and that destiny that he had for mankind in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Where they was ruling and reigning and dominating the earth and being fruitful and multiplying. What an assignment meant to make the whole earth just like him. He loved that arrangement, that world. That was going on, man, between God and mankind. And before they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, before they got separated from God, he loved that world so much. He loved that arrangement, that pattern of operation, that system, that way of being, that way of living. He loved that world so much that, boy, he sent his only begotten Son. Oh, that's the fulfillment of that promise. Well, the seed of that woman. Hallelujah. He so loved the world, what world, boy, the arrangement that he set up and the laws that he set up. He loved that world so much, boy, that he came himself in the person of his Son, just like he said in Genesis chapter 3 to that devil, the seed of that woman. He gonna come, boy, and he gonna grind your head in the ground. He gonna bruise your, head. All the authority and dominion that Adam gave you, man, he gonna come strip you of it all in front of all your demon cohorts. And gonna make a show of you open in front of all the one third of the angels that you deceive, rendering you powerless, hallelujah, in front of all your demon cohorts, and then give back the power and authority that you had over this earth back to who it originally belonged to, who? The sons of man, mankind. God so loved that world so much that he sent his only begotten Son, hallelujah. That whosoever would believe in him, believe what? Hey, that as Moses was lifted up, so was he lifted up, boy. Listen, boy, he redeemed your life from destruction. His blood and everything else and all those things that he did, that was the means to one end, man, to cleanse you up from all your unrighteousness. That which the law could not do through the weakness of the flesh, but that he cleansed you up from all your unrighteousness. Boy, he came and did that, man. He didn't. That's what his death and burial and resurrection is about. It's not so much all about the controversies, all about it, this and that, man. It's what the meaning of it is, man. That was God providing a sacrifice, man, for the sins of mankind. Just like he provided a sacrifice for Adam's sin when he killed that lamb and clothed Adam, man, with the coat of that lamb. That was a sacrifice that God provided. They tried to cover themselves with the fig leaves and everything else. They tried to save themselves according to their way of doing it, man. But God said, man, that ain't going to save you. Hey, I'm your source and I'm your sustainer. I lost you. And I'm going to find you and I'm going to redeem you and I'm going to restore you. And I'm going to reestablish, man, my original laws back in your life so that you can learn to live by those laws. Because without living by those laws and even everything that I restored to you and everything else, you can't accomplish that without living, man, by faith. Without living according to the word of the Most High God, that's a law of life. Well, what I'm telling you today, what God said, that which was from the beginning, that's what I declare unto you. Not in the beginning, man, and not the story of the Moses and all that. I'm telling you, man, that which was from the beginning. All the way back from the foundation of the world, man, what was in God's heart and his precepts and his mind, and then he spoke it. And then what happened, man, after he spoke it, man, and all the way down to, man, what? He loved it so much that, man, he came, got that back. That's been 2,000 years ago. And, boy, the church still wandering around in the wilderness. Saved. They believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, man, but, boy, don't know what they saved. And nobody saved from. But they don't know what they saved to. They know the laws of Moses, but they don't know the laws of the kingdom. They know religion, man, but they don't know relationship. They know how to have church, but they don't know how to be the church. Even though the light shines, but we walk on in darkness. Well, but Jesus Christ loved us so much, boy, that he came to this earth and the prison and to fulfill what God did. His death, burial, and resurrection cleansed us from all our unrighteousness. So what purpose are they? So that, boy, we can come back into the presence of the Most High God. So that the Holy Spirit can once again come dwell on the inside of our spirits. So that the divine connection that we lost between God and mankind and heaven and earth can be reconnected, man, and we can get back on course toward God's original plan and destiny and purpose for our lives. And what's that, Arthur? That it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in hell. How, Arthur? By coming to the knowledge of it and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, verse 17, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, exposed. For he that doeth the truth, he cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifested, that they are wrought in God, that they are done in God. What he did, boy, that whosoever would believe in him, that whosoever would believe the gospel, that whosoever would come on, man, back into the kingdom of God, come on back into the presence of God, and start learning how to operate according to the law of life that's in Christ Jesus. Start learning how to live this life out by faith. Start learning how to love one another, man. What love? I'm talking about the love of God that will be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That unconditional love of God. Man, that look past faults and mistakes, man, and forgive us of all our sins and shame. That love, man. They beginning to, as I close, boy, beginning to live, man, hallelujah, by faith and in the fulfillment of the promise. Glory to God. Loving one another. And boy, listen, knowing that, man, Lord, that you are free from sin and death. Hallelujah. That's a perfect law. A perfect law of liberty. And the one most important is learning how to obtain in our life here on earth what God originally intended. Well, through the law of sowing and reaping. Well, through coming back to the knowledge of sowing the seed of God's word into our hearts, into our lives, into our circumstance, to our situation, to our symptom, to our family, to our children. Well, speaking the word of God over every circumstance, situation, and symptom in our lives, Lord. And as we speak it, it's like planting seed. And as we continue to speak it and meditate in it, it's like watering. And what's going on there, it is growing up. And as it continues to grow up, it will manifest that fruit in our lives. The fullness of the stature of that word. How? Through the law of sowing and reaping. Putting God's word in our mouth. Meditating in it day and night. Learning how to do according to everything that's written therein. And boy, then we will have good success. And then we will make our way prosperous and have good success. And boy, accomplishing God's will for our life. Listen, my wife, Gail, and I, with Kingdom Life Fellowship Ministry, we love you with the love of God. And we desire God's best for your life. And this is our prayer for you, that you'll be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life, with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you continue to grow in the knowledge of God, man, and God's will and God's purpose for your life. And that you stay tuned to messages like this and in the word of God, that you abide in him and the word abide in you, so that it might accomplish everything that is sent to you. This word is designed and sent to you to establish, boy, the kingdom of heaven in your heart. And receive it, man, with the love of God and thanksgiving, man, growing in the name of Jesus. That's my prayer for you. God bless you. We love you. Talk to you again next week. Bye-bye. Secure.
This is Pastor Arthur LeVayle. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the messages on these broadcasts has been a tremendous